snow this week, but out in California, they still got pounded. So we were talking about snow a little bit this morning, and I do have to mention, and not to embarrass anybody, but it's always great to have visitors, right? And my favorite mother-in-law is here this morning. So if you're a son-in-law, you know where I'm going. I'm getting on the good side. So my favorite mother-in-law is here with us. So I was shocked to see her this morning. But so I'm gaining brownie points. All right, guys, you know what I'm talking about? What's that? Yeah, check mark. That's right. So I got that check done. Anyway, this week there was a major bank that the Silicon Valley Bank, I'm not sure if you guys heard about this, it collapsed and there's all sorts of economic problems that they say is going to kind of filter through the economy due to this bank. And it's actually not the first time, which we know that banks have collapsed. And actually the first time, so I kind of was like, when was the first time like a bank actually collapsed in the United States? And in 1819 was the first collapse of a bank in the United States, and it was due because the U.S. was supplying France and England, and they were in a centuries war, right? So the U.S. was supplying both France and England with goods, and when they ended the war, all of a sudden the U.S. was like, we're not supplying these things anymore, and it was a reduction in supplies and money, and then there was a big bank collapse in 1819. But not to get too much into the economic side, if you ask a bird, do you know where birds invest their money? They invest it into the stork market. Come on, the stork, you know, the big bird, the stork market, the bird that delivers babies, that same bird. So let's pray this morning before we get into James here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning once again. You are our God. You have created us. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Help us to be your servants, that we're here for you. Help us to live our lives honorably to you and serve others and help others. And give us wisdom and speak to us this morning from your word on what you want us to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. Today's message title called Positive or a Negative Tongue. Positive or negative. We're in James chapter 3. Once again, going through James. I'm going to throw it out there again. James. The book of James was written by who? The half-brother of Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wasn't a believer of Jesus as the Messiah when Jesus was on earth, alive. During the ministry, James didn't believe him. It wasn't until the death of Jesus, his murder on the cross, his burial, and then resurrection. And then when James came face to face with Jesus alive, it changed his world and realized, wow, Jesus is the Messiah. And then James became a full believer in Jesus as the Messiah and became a leader in the early church in Jerusalem, the early Christian church in Jerusalem. James is writing this letter, and right now we're picking up on James 3, 1 through 12. James chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 3. We'll see where we stop here. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect, a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And then he goes on to talk about putting bits in the horse's mouth, and we'll get there. But first off, what's James say? He doesn't go right to all the problems of everything else that's out there. James right away goes to who? He goes to teacher. He says, teacher, be careful of what you say. teachers, priests of the time, at this time, the Levites, the teachers, all these people that were teaching, saying, be careful, teachers, of what you say, what comes out of your mouth, because as a teacher, you're going to be held strict, more strict. You're held to a higher standard than if you're not a teacher, because you're instructing others. So he's saying, you're a teacher. Be very careful, basically, on what you say, what's coming out of your mouth, and also what you're teaching, what you're instructing. It's no different than what Jesus said, you know, years before this in Luke. Luke chapter 20. We'll read these real quick. Luke 20, 46 and 47. Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes. I don't know why you'd want to walk around in a flowing robe, but, you know, whatever. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. Jesus says, such men will be punished most severely. And the same thing as James said, teacher, and that's to all teachers, be careful what's coming out of your mouth. Instruct correctly, because you are going to be judged more severely than if you're not a teacher. And sometimes that's scary, because then we also know that we all stumble, right? So I know for me, I love to speak God's word, and I love to teach. But hey, I'm a sinner, right? We stumble. And I'm always kind of like, what should I do? What should I do here? And I'm always trying to keep myself in check, too, because, you know, we're sinners. We all stumble, as James says. Then James goes on in verse 3. When we put bits into the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take the ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. In our community, and how many times have we heard this, right? How many times have we heard talking about the tongue? And in our community, we have horse farms, we have horses, we drive down the road. It's not like, I don't think when we were in California and in L.A., you don't see Amish driving down the road, right, in L.A. But here, we see horse and buggy all the time. And what do the horses have in their mouth? They have the bit in their mouth. And that thing probably weighs a half a pound. And we know that bit goes in the mouth, and you can watch when the Amish are on the road how they just control the animal. Just a small little bit in the horse's mouth of 1 pound piece of metal can a little pressure to the left, a little pressure to the right, and you direct the horse. Make it stop, make it go. That's our tongue. Our tongue is the same thing. Our tongue is directing us. That's what James is saying. And then he goes on and talks about the ship rudder. Actually, we love to go to the beach as a family. And when we go down to Cape May and stuff, you see the sailboats. But before we even get to the sailboats, we also like to surf. So we're a big surfing family. My kids are way better than I am. So, I mean, they're doing cutting back up waves and this and that and all that fun stuff. I can't do that. But there's fins, right, Justin? Fins on the bottom of a surfboard. And sometimes there's, on a longboard, there's one. On some of the sport boards, there's these fins. And on the bottom of the surfboard, if you put your weight which way you want to go, the fin catches the water and it directs the board. Ships, same way. James is saying, these ships, these big ships, at the time, there was big ships, and even today, our ships are so much bigger. We have battleships, we have cargo ships, and all these ships that sail the ocean are all steered by this little device, a rudder. Compared to this huge ship, they had this little rudder that steers the ship. And that's what James is telling us about our tongue. Our tongue is a controlling mechanism. We need to keep our tongue in check. What's coming out of our mouth needs to be kept into check, because the tongue, as he said in verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest fire set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts in the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, the tongue. And it's set on fire by hell. The tongue. That's why I started off with a good thing to my mother-in-law. If you say a bad thing to your mother-in-law, then you're in a world of hurt, right? So if I started off with something good, thanks for coming, Marcia, a great example for today. If you start off with something good, your tongue, what's coming out of our mouth? That's what James is saying. What's coming out of your mouth? What are you teaching? Because your tongue, you're not controlling it. If you're not directing your tongue and what it's saying, it becomes a fire. If you're a husband in here, sometimes you say stuff and all of a sudden you're like, what did I say? And you're real quick in the doghouse. I'm sure it doesn't happen to anybody else in here, but it happens to me. I'll be like, what did I say? Your tongue, you can say something and your tongue gets you in trouble. Your tongue is a fire. When I was a kid, 1998, in Perkasie, it was known as the Great Fire of Perkasie. So Perkasie is about an hour away from here. And in 1988, when I was a kid, one day I just heard all these sirens coming from all over. And all day, and then all of a sudden you see all the smoke coming up over the hill. Here, what happened was these two kids, 12 years old, were playing with matches or a lighter, playing with fire in a coal bin in the supply house at one of the, in town. Well, the coal bin caught on fire. And soon, the coal bin jumped to the lumber yard. And all the lumber caught on fire. It's called dry wood. It went from the lumber yard and jumped the street over to the shopping district. And they used to have this great 5 and 10 store. We used to go in as kids and get this stuff. And they had all the old soda fountains and those things. All gone. 15% of the town was wiped out by a fire. Nobody lost their life, but there's like millions, billions of dollars that were ruined by a fire. So quickly, a fire can start, and that's what James is saying. Your tongue is a fire. We need to tame our tongue, verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Our tongue. We need to tame our tongue. Can we tame our tongue? We see animals being tamed. We see dogs that can jump through hoops and fire. We see at circuses, the lions, they jump up on the little structure there and do whatever they do. Like one guy puts his hand in the mouth. We were in Israel years ago, and there was a camel. So we're in Jerusalem, and they had this camel that your kids would get up on, or anybody would get up on the camel. And it's overlooking Jerusalem, and you take a picture, so you're on this camel in Jerusalem for this photo shoot, right? Well, this camel was sitting there, it was an old camel. And the camel... the this camel was old and had big, you know, like big, the big knees that it would come up and down on. And every time it would go down, you would hear this camel go, oh, as it went down, okay? And then the kids would get on, the kids would come off, and then the owner would say to the camel, you know, get the camel back up, because it was trained, it was tamed, and all of a sudden the camel would go back up, and it would scream out, and we're going, what's up with this camel? Well, here, the owner said the camel was so old and had arthritis in its knees. So it was in severe pain every time it bent down and every time it stood up. And the thing would scream, and it sounded horrible, but people still did it because they wanted their picture. But anyhow, nonetheless, the camel was trained to do what the owner told him to do. The animal was tamed. James is saying, our tongue can't be tamed. We need to work on our mouth. What's coming out of our mouth? Our tongue is similar to this. We need to control our tongue. It's full of poison. Proverbs 12:18 says this about the tongue. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words coming from our tongue pierce our souls like a sword. We see more of that in Proverbs 10. Proverbs is great talking about the tongue. Proverbs 10, 20 and 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is full of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but the fools die for lack of judgment. And then Proverbs 15, we're going to end up kind of here with Proverbs 15 on the tongue issue, 1 through 4. This is a great passage here about the tongue. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Verse 4 is awesome. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue can be a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue, just as Jesus and James talked about, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. A tree of life. Or we have a tongue that crushes the spirit. Where is our tongue? What tongue do we have? Are we controlling our tongue? Because James is telling us further in James 3 of what comes out of our mouth. It's like a salt well and a fresh spring, a fresh water spring. We both praise and we both curse out of the same mouth, our tongue. Our tongue. There was a guy that lived down the road from us, older man. He's passed now for many years, but he lived in this old house. And in the house, he didn't have sewer or anything. It was just this old stone there, and everybody knew him. And you'd go in, he had a full stove, and he sat in this house. And I would go in and talk to him many times, once a week, make sure he was okay and everything. And I would always talk to him about the Lord. He was a believer. Then he was, you know, in his 90s. He was a believer, but he never went to church. Never went to church. And what, you know, why don't you, and he sat there and he'd read his Bible, but he never would step out into any church. And I asked him one day, I said, why don't you ever go to church? And he said, when I was a kid, so this guy was in his 90s. And when I was a kid, so how many years prior, right? 75, 80 years? When he was a kid, so 80 years went by, approximately. And when he was in Sunday school at church, there are some kids in his Sunday school class, and they made fun of him because he was poor. Those words coming from a kid, hey, kid, or, you know, I was a kid, I know the stupid things I did. And Ross, you were a kid, I'm sure you did a lot of stupid things, but anyhow, we won't get into the rest. But we, kids say things that is not too smart, right? And those things pierce somebody's soul, even as a kid. So this guy, 90 years old, so 80 years prior, 75 years prior, what was said to him as a young boy pierced his soul and still held him out of the church. Those things that were spoken, our tongue, can get into someone's spirit, get into someone's soul, and it controls them. Now, I'm not saying that's correct, right or wrong. You know, he needed to act differently there, but that's what happens. These words were spoken from somebody's tongue, from the tongue, and it wasn't a tongue of healing. It was a tongue of poison, and it was a tongue that crushed somebody's spirit. Crushed somebody's spirit. Verse 9, chapter 3. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brother, this should not be, James says. This shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I actually thought about, you know, doing all of chapter 3 on one Sunday, but the issue of our tongue is such a huge issue. Why? So that's why I just wanted to concentrate on just the tongue, of what we say. The tongue produces speech. Speech, as we see in Proverbs, James, and as Jesus talked about, what comes out of our mouth can heal or it can hurt. And as people, where's our mouth? What's coming out of our mouth? Are we controlling our mouth? Speech is a very important thing. Even coaches, you get to, if your kids ever played baseball. I used to coach and help with, you know, some of the coaching. And, you know, we were a team and the kids were, I don't know, they were still rolling around in the outfield playing, you know, when they were out there. And we were just having fun. And it was all about, let's have fun. Let's teach the game. There's other teams and coaches that were ripping into these kids and crushing their spirit. Speech. The speech that comes out of our mouth. And it's just not, we just don't see it here. And this is why speech is so important. Speech. What is spoken can change the world. What is spoken, the tongue, what comes out of our mouth, the thoughts, the things that come out that we speak to other people can change the world. The First Amendment, the Bill of Rights in the First Amendment, what are we guaranteed? We have, number one, freedom of religion. Number two is the freedom of speech. The freedom of speech. Because speech can change things. And we see even where many countries throughout the world where speech is being limited. Speech, people that rise up and speak against their government or rise up and speak against something that they don't like from a specific group of people are put into, you know, hey, you go over here, or some of them in some countries are even put in jail. I read an article just this morning, a Catholic boy in Canada. In Canada, it just happened. I got it 51 minutes ago. That this Catholic who went to a Catholic school, and he said, yes, there's a difference between men and women. And they threw him out of school. He's speaking truth, right? That's our job as Christians, is to speak the truth. That's part of what our tongue is used for. Yeah, we're supposed to speak that lovingly, supposed to speak the truth. So this student spoke truth as a believer, and he was kicked out of school, and then he went back to school, and they actually took him and arrested him in Canada over speech. Speech can change the world. Jesus, why was he crucified? I mean, it was his plan. It was his purpose. But he was crucified because of what he spoke. He didn't have an army. He had some fishermen. He had, you know, some disciples. He was healing people. But what he spoke went against what others, and they didn't like what he said. So what he spoke, they killed him for. John the Baptist, why was he killed? He wasn't leading an army either. He went to the king and said, your lifestyle is wrong. And they threw him in jail. His speech is what got him killed. He disagreed with his lifestyle. So Scripture wants us to live like this. He spoke the truth and was killed for it. The apostles, almost all of the apostles, what happened to them? And I don't know if you've ever done a study on it. It's amazing. I love to see how the apostles, these guys gave their lives for what they believed in of our Savior to promote the gospel, and almost all of them lost their life through some type of murder. Almost all of them. Why? From what they spoke. What they spoke. What comes out of our mouth can be a healing, or can it be a curse? As a dad, and moms, grandparents, friends, kids, in school, wherever you are, what's coming to you? Are we being a mouth, a well that's healing? Are we giving true biblical positive influence into somebody's life of what Scripture tells us and how we should be living, or what we should be doing? That's healing. What we speak coming from Scripture can provide healing to people. Proverbs tells us that. Or are we letting our mouth run wild, and are we crushing people? Are we crushing people's spirit? That's important for us as believers. Very important for us as believers, as especially now, as we living in this world that is living a biblical lifestyle based on what Scripture says, and we, you know, as we ride up right against social issues, we as believers need to continue to speak with our tongue truth. In love, obviously, but we need to speak the truth. We can be healing, have a healing tongue, or we can have a cursing tongue. This morning I would say, where is your tongue? Where's your tongue? Where's my tongue? I ask myself all the time, because I know, as James said, I all of us stumble, and I stumble probably daily at something I shouldn't say. But my prayer is, as we continue to walk forward as believers, all of us, that we take what we learn from James and what we see in Proverbs about our tongue, that we try to manage what we say according to what Scripture says, that we can manage it and speak healthy things, not curseful things. This week, just kind of monitor your tongue. I know many times the week gets busy, but Proverbs, those three verses that I'm going to call out again, read about those, about your tongue, help us to think about our tongue. Proverbs 12:18, Proverbs 10:20-21, and Proverbs 15:1-4, specifically 4. The tongue brings healing, or it crushes the spirit. And where do you want to be with your tongue? I'll be up front at the end of the service. If you have never accepted Christ, if you don't know who Jesus is, talk to me. I'm here. Pull me to the side. Tackle me outside. It doesn't matter. You need to know about the Lord if you don't know who Jesus is. I'm here for you all day. So, I'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your greatness. And we've come before you now, Lord. And you hear us worshiping you, and you know all about our tongue. You created this tongue, and it's controlled by so many different things. Lord, you know our tongue. Help us, Lord, help me to speak wisely. Help me to speak what's true. Help me to speak the principles that come from Scripture. Help me and my tongue to be a positive, encouraging muscle in my mouth to help people, to heal people, not to be a curse on the people, not to be crush someone's spirit. Help us all to speak with love to people. Help us to love one another, our family, our friends, wherever it may be, as we cross paths with people this week. Help us to remember that what we say, what comes out of our mouth, can change so many things in someone's life. Help us to be available to people to even speak something of a positive influence of you. And we pray for that for all of us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.